does not hate mother and father and wife and children and sister and brother, and yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For if any of you, intending to build a tower, wouldn't you sit down first and estimate the cost to see whether you have enough to complete it? Otherwise, after one lays the foundation and is unable to finish it, then everyone who sees it will ridicule that person, saying, "This fella began to build, but he's not able to finish it." Or what king, upon going out to wage war against another king, would not first sit down and consider whether, with his 10,000 troops, is able to oppose one with 20,000? And if he cannot, while the other is still far away, he would send out a delegation to ask for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple unless you give up all your possessions. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and would like to invite the children to head out for Word for Children. They're going to be out there in the comfy chairs, right out there. You'll be hearing the story about at your level about how to become a disciple, and also hear the book, The Little Engine That Could. That was one of my favorites growing up. I love that. I think is Nijuk out there? Yeah. Nijuk is the one reading today. Well, welcome back. Or I guess more appropriately, I guess I'm the one that should be welcome back. It's good to be back from vacation. Began in PEI with a clay gathering, Canadian Lutheran and Anglican Youth. And that was great. And then our family went off on a road trip and saw Nova Scotia and Quebec and Ontario. And now we're back. And during that time, the Olympics were finishing up. And so I managed to get in quite a bit of viewing of the Olympics and saw, you know, Michael Phelps get as many gold medals and Usain Bolt and, of course, Penny Oleksiak, yay, and Andre Degrassi, the future. I mean, if you think about it, these people that got golds and silvers and medaled, forever they'll be known as Olympians, as a gold medalist or a champion of the Olympics. And in many ways, they'll be kind of defined by that. Just like when we hear Ronald Reagan, it's like, yeah, he was a president. Or LeBron James, professional basketball player. Or who else? I mean, you think about Meryl Streep. She's an actress. So you have people that when you say their names, they're the definition of, they're defined by their achievements. In today's gospel, I think this is one of the questions that Jesus is asking the crowd that's following him. What are you going to be defined by? And in his examples, he talks about, first of all, somebody that wants to build a tower, probably more like a statue. And so do you want to be defined as somebody who has this tower, which at the time would have been an example or proof of your wealth, of your standing in society. And so if you're able to build such a tower or statue to yourself, then folks will go, oh, he's somebody. Oh, you're the person that built the tower. Or he talks about a king. All right. Many of us have a chance to be king. But kings are defined by their ability to have control and power to command armies of 10,000, 20,000, and to exert their will over their domain. In the Gospel of Luke, whenever Jesus talks about somebody that's rich or somebody that has power, there should be alarm bells that go off. Because he never points to them as good examples of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. So even though it seems like a very pragmatic conversation that Jesus is having, as far as, okay, if you want to be my disciple, you need to sit down and kind of weigh the cost and see if you could achieve it. Underlying that by his examples is saying, if you want to be defined by your wealth and by your possessions, by your status in society, if you want to be defined by the power that you have over others, watch out. You cannot be my disciple. Because when that is what you are after, when you are putting your trust in those things to give you life, to give you meaning, to give you value, they will let you down. And when you put your trust in those things, even though it seems like you might possess them, they actually possess you. And if they possess you, then you cannot be my disciple. He started off, the gospel today started off talking about, unless you hate your mother and father and wife and children and sister and brother, those are hard words to hear. But in the context of what you put your ultimate trust in, Jesus is saying, if you don't put your trust in God, if you do not put your trust in God, then something else is taking the place in your life where God should be. And it certainly can be money, it can be wealth, it can be all those things, and it can be family. Kind of raises the question, if this is what it's going to take, give up all those things, why would anybody want to be a disciple of Jesus? That's a very good question. This Bible is a story of people that have trusted God. Moses, Abraham, people who have taken the leap of giving all that they have and offering it to God, and by doing so, received their life. The thing that is so hard to wrap our minds around is when we give our lives away to Jesus, to God, that is when we receive our lives. So even things like, well, let's start off with mother and father and sister and brother and wife and children. Jesus isn't saying you should leave them, but he's saying if you will put your trust in me and become a partner with God and what God is up to and take on loving God and loving your neighbor and everything that you have that you consider your possession, instead, if you offer it all to God, give it up, as it says, then all of a sudden everything that you've been entrusted with becomes a gift. And the ability to truly love, instead of thinking about your wife as a possession or your children as possessions or your mother and father as possessions, your family as possessions, they are gifts that God has given you. And when you relate to them that way, from a stance of love, a stance of service, all of a sudden the opportunity for true love comes into being. Jesus says, you have to trust. And whenever, if there's something else on that throne, if you allow it to be there, then you cannot be my disciple. But if you do, then the whole world opens up. These gifts that I've given you, including relationships, including your abilities to run fast or throw far or to read or to create, all of a sudden become opportunities for you to bless the world in God's name. Things that can be used and God wants to use in order to have life abound for all. Jesus is the proof of this. When Jesus sat down to decide whether he could follow through on what he was committed to, he said, okay, am I going to be able to build my tower? Of course, the tower that he was building was the cross. And he said, yes, I will do that. And when he sat down and said, am I going to be able to confront my enemies who have legions of troops ready to come after me if I challenge their authority? Will I with myself and God be able to oppose them? The answer was yes. And by carrying his cross, by trusting in his relationship with God, Jesus conquered all those that would defeat him and showed us that the way to true life is by giving one's life away. If any of you want to be a disciple of Jesus, if any of you want to enjoy life that is truly life, then watch out what gets on your throne. Watch out what wants to take center place. When you recognize that it's something beside God, confess that, set it aside. Offer yourself again to God and receive the blessings of the kingdom. Amen.
It is a miracle that when Jesus turned around and said those things to the crowds that was following him, that anybody continued to follow. But people did, and people have been following Jesus all through the centuries, right down to our time. Let us lift our voices with theirs and profess our faith in the words they also professed, using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. I ask all teachers and students to stand. Okay, and then if you are around someone who's standing, if you would lay a hand on them, on their arm or their shoulder, let us pray. I'll give you a minute to move around. Let us pray for all who are beginning a new school year, that both students and teachers will be blessed in their academic endeavors. Almighty God, give you wisdom and knowledge. Grant teachers the gift of joy and insight, and students the gift of diligence and openness, that all may grow in what is good and honest and true. Support all who teach and all who learn, that together we may know and follow your ways through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'd like to ask Evan and Laura to stand. Did I get your name right? Is it Laura? Yeah. At the risk of embarrassing you, if you would. And then if you're around them, again, if you would lay a hand on their shoulder or their arm. Catherine's asking people from the choir to come gather around. That's a good thing to do, too. If you're in the choir and you're over here, please get up and go over there. You can if you want to. I don't know if Betty's going, should I go? Should I go? Yeah, you can move. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You can cross in front too, Betty. She's going to come out the side here. Just like magic. Yeah. And let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for gifts and talents that are extraordinary. And we thank you for blessing us with the presence of Evan and Laura. We pray that your mercy and your grace and your wisdom and understanding would flow onto them, that their gifts and talents might be shared here, not just for our good, but for the good of the world. We know that those who sing pray twice. I think those who play and create music pray three times. We pray that you would bless their prayers, that this place might be a place of sanctuary and hope and healing flowing from this altar and from these musicians. We pray also that you would bless their marriage and their ministry and their life together, that you would lay before them a life of hope and grace and joy beyond their imagining, that they might be a gift from you to the world and to all who know them. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you. You may be seated. And now if you would all stand or otherwise continue to make yourselves comfortable for prayer. Let us rejoice in God's Spirit and the Spirit of God's work among us, as we continue to pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need.